Thank you for joining Truth in Love Ministries, where we exist to connect people to God, to connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. Connect with us on Facebook at Truth in Love Jax, or visit us on the web at truthinlove.tv, where you will also find our weekly broadcast. On the go and want to know what's going on at Truth in Love? Simply visit your mobile app store and download the Truth in Love app and get information on services, events, and even messages right at your fingertips. Tune in now, where the message is already in progress.
99% of believers, there was a recent poll, it said 99% of Christians believe that it is their personal responsibility to share their faith. 99% of believers. But that same poll said that only 19% of that 99 share their faith on a regular basis. 99%. If I was to take another poll, as I did when I said this, I had everyone to raise their hand who thought it was their responsibility as being a believer to share their faith. And everyone raised their hand, but only 19%, less than 20% of the same number of individuals shared their faith on a regular basis. Now, let me help you with something. Because I post or share a scripture, that's not me sharing my faith. Come on, let me help you with that. Let me just because I say I'm going to church, that's not me sharing my faith. And please continue to do that. I need to do that. I need to step it up a little more. I don't post a lot of scriptures and a lot of I share our truth and love stuff, but I don't post and share a whole lot of stuff because just, you know, for my own reasons. But the point is that I am to be intentional about sharing my faith. What is intentional about sharing my faith? I'm trying to purposefully be in a conversation with someone to lead them into right standings with God. And here, that same poll, 99% of people believe it's their responsibility to share their faith. Only 19% do. But even worse than that, only 5% of the body of Christ said that they've led someone to the Lord before. Only 5%. 95% of believers say they've never ever led someone to the Lord. What I mean by leading someone to the Lord, you're praying with someone and they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and their personal Savior. That is not the preacher's job. That is not the clergy's job. That is believers' job. It is our responsibility to share our faith. And then at the same time, I said that there are really five reasons why persons don't share their faith. Five reasons. And I want to see who was paying attention. I'm gonna see if y'all are the super smart class or was it just Noonday? Noonday was they got it all right, but I'm gonna see if y'all got it. What's the number one reason why people don't share their faith? Anybody remember? Raise your hand. Anybody remember number one reason? Or what you? I got one in the hallway. What's the number one reason? Fear of rejection. That's number one. Fear of rejection. Fear, the fact that I am afraid that someone's going to reject me. So a lot of people don't share their faith because they have a fear of rejection. What are they going to say? I don't want nobody to turn me down. I don't want nobody to say anything smart to me. I don't need nobody doing this and doing that. So I got over my fear of rejection. I told you when I was selling insurance, because they told me that shy insurance salesmen have hungry children. So I got over my fear of rejection because I wanted to make a sale. So if I would say what I need to say to make a sale, how much more would I do when it comes to the things of God? I'm not afraid of someone rejecting me. But also, that goes along with our lesson on tonight, what's the number two thing? That number one is fear of rejection, but number two, what is the other reason why someone does not share their faith? Anybody know? Anybody know the number two thing? Number two thing. Yes, ma'am. Fear of not knowing what to say. Yes, ma'am, you're exactly right. You're getting a gold sticker today. Look at that. You're getting a gold sticker. Got a 100. Amen. That is exactly it. The fear of not knowing what to say. I feel like I'm not, what does it say? I feel like I'm not qualified. Like I'm not qualified. And so this is what this lesson is designed to do. It is to give us the confidence that we need, that where we can be able to share our faith, to where it's not about me. It's not about me. And this is what I must program myself. I got to get this in my heart and in my mind. When it comes to evangelism, when it comes to me sharing my faith, you're not rejecting me. I'm just the mailman. You're not rejecting me. I'm just the one that is delivering the message. But Jesus said in Luke 10:16, he said, whoever despises of you, they really despise me. He said, whoever rejects you, they're really rejecting me. When Jesus met Saul on that road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, the first thing he said to Saul, he said, Saul, why do you persecute me? Paul never threw a rock at Jesus. He never hit Jesus with a spear. He never did anything. But whenever Paul was doing something to the body of Christ, he was consequently doing something to Jesus. And I must keep that in my mind. I must walk away from people, and I just got to hit them with the shoulders. Hit them with the shoulder, because you're not rejecting me. You are rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. And this will help us in so many other areas of our life other than evangelism. If I will learn, whenever a person rejects me, they're not rejecting me, but no, they're rejecting the God in me. Don't take yourself so serious that way you feel like the world is bent against you, and the world some of us act as if the only reason why somebody got up in the morning was to hurt my feelings. Some of us act as if somebody turned off their alarm clock in the morning and said, yeah, I'm going to get her today. No, can I tell you that there may be a couple of individuals that's deranged like that, but not for the vast majority of us. Man, I must take this in my heart and my mind to know when somebody pushes me away, they're not pushing me, but they're pushing away the one that I represent. So number one reason, the fear of rejection. Number two, the fear of not knowing what to say. And so this is why we're going to talk about the Word of God. The Word of God is so foundational to evangelism. Listen to my first point. It's on the screen. The Word of God is the foundation of evangelism. Why is that? Because it convicts. The Word of God is the foundation of evangelism because it convicts. Yes, it does. It convicts. The Word of God is the foundation of evangelism because it convicts. Why is this important? Because if I change my mindset towards evangelism, a lot of us, and I said this on Sunday, a lot of us are not successful in our evangelistic efforts because we look to correct before we connect. A lot of us are not successful when it comes to us sharing our faith because we're already ready to point out what a person is doing wrong and what they should be doing. And here it is, I have not won them. I have not even won that space in their life to be able to say something to them on that level for me to begin to even correct them. So here, my job, my responsibility is to have enough word in me, to know enough Bible, to have enough scripture memory, that way I don't have to tell or make something to say to you just to hit you where it hurts. Let me say it another way. I don't have to try to use the word to throw off on you. Come on. A lot of us are going to try to take some scriptures and take the word, and we'll use it to try to throw it on somebody because we know something about them. We know how they act. And then we'll start, if we can't find a scripture or think of a scripture, we'll start bringing up our grandma them scriptures. We'll say, you know what? Petty one and one say, God don't like ugly. Come on, you know, Petty 3:16 say, if you take one step, God will take this, he'll take two. Come on here. We start coming. We call it that mammy made theology. We start making stuff up, but I don't have to do that. This Word of God convicts all by itself. Let me say something to you. I am not the judge, the jury, or the executioner of anybody. I don't have a heaven to take you to or a hell to send you to. It's my responsibility to just simply tell it like it is. Like a T.I. is, exactly. The Word of God is the foundation of evangelism because it convicts. Look, what is conviction? Conviction is the proving of a person guilty of sin or crime. Ooh, when someone hears the word, I am to hear the word in such a way that where I leave myself, I don't need nobody to say to me how to make application. My God, there's sometimes I hear the word of God. I don't need nobody next to me sideline preaching. I don't need nobody next to me saying how I am to apply this to my life. I'll hear the word and I'll say, ooh, anybody been hearing the word? And you say, dang. Come on, anybody gonna talk to me? Anybody hear the word and be like, I've hit one of them. Come on, you don't need nobody telling you where to place that scripture. You already know where to put it because as soon as you put it there, you say, dog. Help me, Lord. Come on here. Ouch. All that stuff. So here, this is what I need to know. That conviction in and of itself is saying that it's a person that's guilty of sin or guilty of a crime. And I must present the word in that way. And it's simple to do. Look at Romans 3:10, because Paul tells us something very strategically. He says, Romans 3:10, as it is written, no, none is righteous. No, not One. No, you know how it's easy to where individuals can be convicted by the word of God? Because none of us are righteous. Come on. And this is so simple that it's so simple, but it's profound. In fact, it's simply profound that a lot of individuals think that they're all right with God. And Paul told us nobody is righteous. No, I know you be telling folk that you a good person. I know you feel like you got a good heart. I know you help the little old ladies across the street. I know you help people carry their groceries. I know you pay for somebody food, and I know you do this and do that. But no, all of us, there's a biblical term called moral depravity. All of us are morally depraved. All of us, Psalm 51:5 says, in our mother's womb, we were shaping in iniquity. I am born a sinner. Nobody had to teach me how to sin. My mama never taught me how to lie. Nobody taught me how to, they taught me how to dug it, but they didn't teach me how to lie. They didn't teach me how to do anything. I learned how to do it on my own. So we're all, I know you feel like you're a good person. I know you love the Lord and all this stuff, but no, my friend, before Jesus Christ came into our life, there was nothing good. Look what Paul said in Romans 3:11. He said, no one understands. You don't can't sit down and understand what life is all about apart from God. You can't sit down and understand the mysteries of God with a carnal thinking and carnal. It doesn't make any sense. How can somebody say, let there be light one time, and it echoes through the eons of time, and they say light, and we still got light? How can God step out on a platform of nothing and create everything we see? It doesn't make any sense. How can he take some dirt and mold it into a corpse and breathe the breath of life into somebody's body, and here we become a living soul? How can a man, when a man loves a woman, how can a man and a woman come together, and here, whoop, there it is, got a baby? Come on here, somebody. We can't figure that out. We don't understand how stuff happened. It just, y'all know, help me tonight. It just happened. No one can, we can't understand this stuff. Look what Paul says again. He said, no one seeks for God. I found the Lord. No, you did not. He was not looking for him. But I'm so glad that when I'm not seeking after him, the woman from the well taught us on Sunday, even when I'm not seeking after him, he's seeking after me. Yes, sir. No one seeks after God. Stop talking about, and so many of us, this is why people don't come to a full knowledge of God. This is why people don't have a fresh relationship with God. It's this next statement. This is really good. See, a false sense of moral goodness keeps millions away from a genuine relationship with God. This is evangelism. It's evangelism, really, that me having a false sense of goodness. What does that mean? I feel like I'm okay. You know why people won't get saved? You know why people won't have a genuine relationship with God? Let's take this in layers. Let's take this in stages. First and foremost, there are people and persons out there that they say, well, I don't smoke, and I don't chew, and I don't run around with those that do. I don't rob banks. That's how I used to think. Come on, I don't rob no banks. I'm not stealing anything. Well, I ain't say that, but I'm not robbing a bank. I'm not killing nobody. Come on here. You do what you do. I mind my own. I felt like I was morally a good person. And then even when I engage in some of those things, at least if I don't engage in what somebody else do, come on, I may be bad, but I ain't as bad as them. Come on, y'all. Nobody would think like that. I may got my stuff, but I don't do what they do. And it's a false sense of moral goodness that keeps millions away from a genuine relationship with God. There's even people that come to church every week, but because I feel like I'm okay, I'll hear the word. Some of us will hear the word of God. The word of God can convict us, but because we feel like we got a handle on this in this area, I don't necessarily need to change in this area. Y'all ain't gonna help me here. We'll hear the word of God, and we'll water down the word of God because I don't want to change. We'll pull God's standards down to us because, well, the Lord understands. A false sense of moral goodness keeps millions away from a genuine relationship with God. So what I am to do as being an evangelist, and all of us should be evangelists, all of us should share our faith. What I am to do, I'm to show someone that they have a need for a Savior, that there is something that God is desiring for us, and there is something that God has better for us, that God that you're empty. Like Jesus told that woman, you drank from Jacob's well, you're going to be thirsty again. And and again and again. You drank from liquor, you drank from weed, you drank from women, you drank from men, you drank whatever you do, whatever you want to do, you're still going to be not satisfied. But when you get a real taste of Jesus, you'll never be thirsty again. Look what Acts says. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. This really works this out for us. Acts 2, 37 said, now when they heard this, they were what? Cut to their heart. That's what the word cuts. The word is a two-edged sword. The word, I don't have to cut nobody. All I got to do is put the word out there and the word will cut. But listen, the word of God cuts for change. If I go to the doctor and my doctor cutting me and he's not making me better, come on here, he just attempted murder. Yeah. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. If I go somewhere and they cutting on me and it's not to heal me, God at times hurt me to help me. God will cut me to medicate me. God will cut me in order to make me better. Look what happens. The word of the Bible said they were, when they heard this, when they heard the word of God, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Can I tell you that conviction through the word of God is the catalyst for change? Preach, boy. I said conviction through the word of God is the catalyst for change. When I hear the word of God and it convicts me, this is what starts change in my life. This is what have me when I'm in here hearing the word of God. I'm saying, man, I got to do better. I got to pray more. I got to believe more. I got to forgive more. I got to give more. I got to serve more. And that's that conviction through the word of God. It is a catalyst to change. I won't change if I don't hear the word. I won't change if God never tells me that there's better. And can I tell you, there's people in our families, there's people on our job, that the only way they're going to come into a real relationship with God, we got to give them the word of God in such a clear and such a precise way, the way it begins to change in their life. Come on here, one man plant, another water, but it's God to give the increase. Come on here, maybe they won't get saved when I tell them at right that particular moment, but I am to drop a seed and drop some word in such a way that it begins to change in their life. Y'all not helping me today, but I came to preach. Can I tell you, look what happened. Acts 2:38 says, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. So they said, what do we need to do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39 says, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Verse 40, and with many other words, with the word of God, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. If Peter said that the generation was crooked back then, how crooked are we today? If the generation was crooked, it literally means that we're bent away from God, an untoward generation, where we once had a country, once had a nation that leaned towards the things of God, that was supposedly founded on Judeo-Christian ethic, but now they're pulling the Ten Commandments out of the courtroom. Now they're even fighting, trying to get you to where we're not swearing on the Bible. Do you swear to tell the whole truth? No, they're trying to yank that away. They're trying to legislate away everything that our country, our nation was supposedly founded on. And we're living in a generation, living in a world that's bent away from God. Oh, but my friend, how do we remedy this? We don't hide. We don't run away. We don't leave the church. We don't say all this stuff is outdated and antiquated. But what we do is we evangelize and we say that no, the word of God is still vital. It still is essential to this generation. Look what Acts writer says, Acts 2:41. Look what it says. And so those who received his word, that conviction, somebody say conviction. That conviction, the Bible says they received his word, were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Oh my God, where are the days that where one message will bring 3,000 souls? Where are the days that where people are hungry for the word of God? Where are the days that people can hear the word of God and it's a change? Where are the days that where we're as the deer, Psalm 42:1, that panted after the water, so does my soul long to be with God. Here, can I tell you that God's word, it convicts. But not only that, the second thing is, this is why the word of God is so foundational and so important. The word of God is the foundation of evangelism, because it converts. You know, it's not good enough to be convicted. Conviction with no conversion is me just feeling bad. Man, I got to take this shit on the road. Somebody online, they tearing their computer up right now saying, preach, bro, you better give them some hearts or something. Cause can I tell you that conviction with no conversion is just me having a bad feeling. Conviction with no conversion is me just simply just hearing something. And can I tell you that me feeling bad does not constitute change in my life? Me feeling bad does not do anything. But no, can I tell you that the Bible says that there's something more, there's something greater that God desires from me. Conversion, here, God convicts, but conversion has something to do with me. Look with conversion. I gave you the definition for conversion. Man, y'all ought to be the most well-trained and taught ministry here on Dunn Avenue, my God, because I'm giving you all the definitions and everything. I'm trying to, it's right. Look at conviction. Conviction is true repentance results in a turning from sin and an inner renewal which can only be brought about by God. Look, who draws people to himself and who through Jesus Christ gives forgiveness and new life. So conversion is something very key, true repentance. True repentance is a change of lifestyle. Oh, come on, spouses. Y'all know we get tired of our spouses saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Be something else. Don't be sorry. Come on, what am I saying? I can tell you I apologize. I can tell you I'm sorry all day. But the real evidence of me being sorrowful or me wanting to change is me actually changing my habits. It's not just me saying I'm sorry. That's what true repentance is. It's turning from sin. Come on, we'll see. Sin against God, we'll know what we're supposed to do, we'll say we need to do better, but true repentance, not me just feeling bad about it, it's me turning away from. This is what we ought to do when it comes to evangelism. And can I tell you that God can convert us with just one, with one genuine prayer, with one. You can live your life like a demon for 45 years and pray one prayer and God can convert you right there on the spot. Yes, sir. He'll cast your sins as far as the east is from the west, and he'll do it instantaneous. Look at Paul in Acts 9:18. The Bible says, and immediately, when we're sharing our faith, never water the word of God to fit somebody's context. Never water the word of God down so to the point to where, well, you know what? And somebody said, well, I'm trying. Well, I'm trying to do the best I can. Okay, that's good. They may be. But no, can I tell you that deliverance is available? Y'all ain't helping me. I said, look at Paul said, but the Bible says, when Paul ran into Jesus, verse 18 says, and immediately something like scales fell from his eyes. Come on, I'm trying to pump you up with so much faith that where somebody not going to get themselves together by and by when the morning comes, that somebody not going to eventually get themselves together. But no, you can pray a prayer in such a way that immediately somebody can hear the word of God and they'll never be the same again. I can hear the word of God and never go back. I never pick it up again. I never go there again. I never be with them again. I never go that way because God can immediately. You mean to tell me God got enough power to create a whole universe? You mean to tell me God got enough power to create a whole person with a cardiovascular system, brain system, respiratory system, and he don't got enough power to take cussing out your mouth? Come on here, somebody. If God can make everything we have, come on here. He can help you with whatever you need help with. Now to preach the word in such a way that I pump you up with so much faith that way you say, I can do all things through Christ. Y'all ain't helping me tonight. I feel like preaching. Let me tell you. The Bible says after Paul went to connection class. The Bible says after Paul joined some ministries. The Bible says when Paul finally no. The Bible said immediately something like scales fell from his eyes. So oftentimes we water the word of God down just because persons don't desire to change. The Bible says, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized. Verse 19, taking food, he was strengthened. Ooh, you want to know why so many folk are weak and nimble in the things of God? They're not getting no food. I said, my granddaddy, he say food. He didn't say food. He say food. He didn't say Christmas. He said crumma. Come on, somebody. And then she didn't say shower. Grandma say shava. Come on here. Grandma didn't say refrigerator. She say cabinator. Come on, y'all, let go talk to me here. So can I tell you, you know why some of us aren't strengthened? Because we don't have no food. We're not getting no spiritual food. We're not diving in the Word of God. The Word of God builds me up. The Word of God helps me. Come on, don't y'all be talking about my country folk here, y'all. Some of y'all got some country folk in your family. Y'all don't say street. Y'all say street. Come on here. Y'all don't say shrimp. Y'all say swimps. Come on here. Y'all got some country folk too. Look, the Bible says, for some days he was with the disciples at Damascus. But even Paul is a perfect example of what we can look at as it relates to conversion. But let's look at someone else. Luke 22:31. Look, the Bible says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you. That he might sift you, like, wait, this is why I am to evangelize. This is the urgency behind evangelism, because the devil is trying to kill your loved one. Everybody you know who don't know Jesus Christ, the devil is trying to kill your son. He's trying to kill your daughters. He's trying to kill your grandchildren. The devil trying to kill your spouse. He's trying to kill them, not to take them to the cemetery. He's trying to kill them in such a way that where they spend it.